Written by Taya Cooper and read by Casey Withers. A whole unexpected morning off. With pay. All because Mrs. Black reckoned they'd driven back the Hun, the Toffs had finally signed the piece of paper, and the armistice would be a done deal. The whole idea had Fleur Richard's heart pounding fit to bust. It wasn't until she reached the end of the Strand and walked around the corner that she was finally convinced Mrs. Black knew what she was talking about. Hundreds of thousands of people crowded into Trafalgar Square, though they were strangely quiet. A huge rumble shook the pavement. The Maroons fired with a blinding flash of light. Smoke billowed into the air. In the stillness of the moment, she fancied Hugh stood beside her. Sky is higher in Australia. Truly? The stars are brighter and the sun always shines. I don't believe you. You will. Not long now, I promise. A flurry of bugles sounded the all clear, drowning out his voice, and the streets erupted. The whole of London must have downed tools. Everyone hugging each other, cheering wildly, throwing their hats in the air, a swirling whirlpool of happiness. Strangers with tears streaming down their faces, embracing one another. And the bells, bells that hadn't rung for 4 years, pealing like it was Christmas, Easter, and the King's birthday, all rolled into one. Not long now, my love. Not long now. We're going home. Without thinking, she threw her arms around the nearest person. He picked her up, twirled her around, and deposited her back on the pavement with a thump. Before she could move, the tall, lanky soldier grabbed her hand and towed her towards one of the packed buses circling the square. If she closed her eyes, she could almost imagine it was Hugh's hand she held. She hadn't known love could be like that. One look, and it was as though their souls had merged. The image of his face always before her eyes and his voice drowning out her fears. I'll be back before you know it. Hands reached out and grabbed her. Her feet took on a life of their own and she was hauled aboard the bus, dizzy with excitement, her head swimming. And number 13. Dad's bus. Oi! Fleur, hold tight! The Clippy's voice brought her back to reality. Your dad can't be here, nor your mum neither, but you can. I'll bet me boots they'll be watching and cheering up there, waving the old flag. Blowing the Clippy a kiss, she swung up the steps, squeezing past the people hanging on by their fingernails, and eased onto the platform. The soldier threw her a cheeky salute and blended into the crowd. Is it really over? A young boy, hardly old enough to shave, never mind wear his tattered uniform, grinned at her.
Armistice was signed at 5 this morning. Hostility to cease on all fronts at 11 a.m. on the knocker, that's what they said.
Mrs. Black was right. One of the drivers, she couldn't remember his name, but she'd met him at Mum and Dad's memorial, patted the small space on the edge of the seat. Sit yourself down. We're off to see the King. The bus slewed to one side, throwing her against his broad shoulders as they turned into the Strand. Never thought we'd see the day. She'd had serious doubts herself, but thankfully she'd been proven wrong. I meant to be going to work this afternoon.
No, you're not. No work today. Not for you, not for anyone.
She didn't mind work. It gave her a sense of purpose, and at least she didn't have to worry about a decent meal and queuing for hours for a pound of tea and some canned meat. Her feet might ache at the end of the day, but her stomach didn't rumble.